Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I'm joined by guests for a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting. In this roundtable, we're going to be discussing C2E2. This is one of the major conventions out in Chicago these days. It is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. This is the 2014 one we're talking about. And it is the first time I've gone. Randy, we've known each other for years online. This is the first time we actually met, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. That was the fun part about it. I got to meet you face-to-face for the first time. I got to meet a couple other people that I've communicated with. I got to see Chris. I see Chris, over at Motor City. But it was kind of nice to hang out with you guys for a little while and then do the convention thing. And, it was great.
Speaking of Chris, he was going to join us for this, but he can't. And he's the reason my phone keeps bleeping at me. I'm letting him know we're recording without him because he can't make it. It's funny. I've been recording with Chris since 2007, 2008. Ages. Long, long, long time. Longer than I can remember, clearly. This is the first time I've seen him since, like, 2006 in San Diego.
That's what I thought he had said, that this was the first time that you guys had seen each other since actually before you guys started doing the podcast together.
Yeah, because when we were in San Diego, it's like, hey, we ought to do something together. You do a trades show. I talk about numbers. Yeah, we should do something. And, you know, it wound up happening. I had just assumed I had seen him at, like, San Diego or somewhere in the years intervening. I mean, Chris and I talk every month on Skype and stuff. So, I mean, we know each other pretty well. It's fun to actually be able to hang out with people face-to-face. We did a little recording session at the booth. Chris was working the Tomorrow's booth. That's the first time he and I have recorded, obviously, face-to-face ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm just an anomaly as a podcast or whatever. I'm also a major introvert, so maybe that'll explain it. I kind of prefer recording over Skype than face-to-face sometimes.
Really? Why?
It's easier to get the people on the different channel. I have all my information in front of me so I can sound coherent and intelligent. Whereas, you know, man, you get me, like, particularly on a con floor or whatever, it's like I'm a space cadet sometimes.
Well, you didn't seem like a space cadet when I met you, so.
I'm a good actor, I guess. Like I said, though, first time I've been to C2E2, not the first time I've been to Chicago. It depends. Do you count the O'Hare Airport as Chicago, or do you have to actually set foot outside of it?
No, I think that's considered Chicago.
I haven't really visited the city before. Uh-huh. And one of the things that made the trip really appealing this time is my sister and I, we've been going to San Diego for ages. We used to live out there and stuff. Mm-hmm. Gotten to know a lot of people that we hang out with there, and some of them live in Chicago. And like, hey, you ought to come to C2E2. And we've been thinking about it for a couple of years, and they're like, oh, we'll put you up, we got room, whatever. It's like, you know, this seems like a good year to go do it. Sure. So we stayed with one of them out in the suburbs or whatever. So it was a 20, 30-minute drive in every day. Mm-hmm. But they scoped out, because both my sister and I have food allergies, they scoped out where we can eat. It was two sisters, Linda and Erica. We stayed with Linda. Erica's a bit of a foodie. So when she scoped out places to eat, they were people that have, like, you know, places that have, like, named chefs and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Not the sort of thing I would naturally have found, but, man, we ate well. Mm-hmm. It was just some great food all the way around. It was a ton of fun. I love hanging out with those two. They know how to enjoy conventions. They were actually helping out a bit over at the Marvel booth with the giveaways at the end of the day and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that was a lot of fun. But, you know, I really didn't know what to expect going into the convention because there are all kinds of different sizes of conventions. I grew up in San Diego, which went from kind of the small little tiny regional convention to a larger one to, oh my God, it's San Diego.
Well, let me ask you this while mm-hmm. while we're talking about that. As far as the size and the scope of this convention, the C2E2 that we were at, how does that rate in comparison to like any of the ages of the San Diego Comic-Con?
When I first went to San Diego, it was in the basement of the I'm blanking on the name of the hotel. It was not the Westgate Hotel, the Westin Hotel, whatever. It was in the basement of a hotel, so it was only so big. So probably the area they had marked as the block at C2E2, that was almost, you know, I mean, maybe a little bigger than that was how big San Diego was at the time. Now that was like 30 years ago or something crazy. Probably a little longer than, actually it was longer than that. I'm older than I remember. Jeez, that's scary. But San Diego is more kind of a narrower, kind of a longer, narrower exhibit hall than C2E2 seems to be. I mean, McCormick Place is huge.
Yes, it is.
I was amazed by the size of it. So I would say this is on par with how San Diego was probably 15 to 20 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe a little bigger. It's a little hard for me to tell.
Okay.
But some of the differences I noticed, they had huge aisles at C2E2.
Yes, yes, they did. There was a lot of elbow room to move around in there.
There were a few places I think they could have had a little bit more, but by and large, yeah, it was terrific. I loved it. It was easy to get around.
Right.
The booths are different at C2E2 than San Diego. San Diego, you tend to have these monstrosities that are, you know, two levels with like a balcony. It's like a small summer home that these people are building out there. You know, they want to do something about a pirate ship. They'll build a pirate ship full scale. It's like, that's crazy.
I've seen every once in a while when San Diego is going on, I click on G4 and they show, you know, bits and pieces and little interviews and stuff. And yeah, I've seen some of those double decker booths that they have. That's amazing.
It's crazy. But it also means that you really can't see that far in the convention center because there's just too much stuff up high.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I felt like I could see further in C2E2. Granted, you can't really tell what's going on too far away or whatever, but it gave it a much more open feeling, a much more inviting feeling.
Right.
And there were a couple of tall booths, the Stylin booth with all the t-shirts and stuff. Those are god awful huge.
It seems like I don't know if they have those at every convention. We have a similar thing. They call it the Cube, at Motor City Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. You know, the shirts are all stacked up on the outside and you walk inside and there's other shirts and that's where you pay for your merchandise and such. So I don't know if that's a regular thing at all cons, but you know, the couple that I've been to, they seem to be there. So
there are a couple of exhibitors like that that are really amazing at leveraging just the vertical space they've got in their booth.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be cool and stuff, but when everybody's doing that, it gets a little oppressive and, you know, you feel like you're in a city of booths versus just a wide open expanse or whatever.
Skyscrapers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It goes back to, as a kid, I never really understood how Spider-Man got around. I grew up in San Diego. I mean, it's earthquake country. It's a low city by and large, and I was out in the suburbs.
Sure.
Then I visited Manhattan one time. I got it.
Yeah.
Those are just crazy. So, because I was staying out in the burbs with some friends, and we were making sure to have a big breakfast just so we didn't have to deal with eating at McCormick Place, because we weren't sure how well that would work out. On Friday and Saturday, we got to the convention center a little late-ish. I mean, well after they opened. I think it was around 11 on Friday and probably closer to noon on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But we also did some sightseeing. So I went to go see, what was it, Cloud Gate or whatever they have at Centennial Park or Millennium Park or whatever the hell park it is. I'm obviously not a great tourist on this.
Okay.
But that was fun. So we actually got to see stuff. I actually got to go to Graham Crackers, one of their locations, and stuff like that. But then Friday, that was my day to go walk the floor. So I pretty much started at one end of the thing and just zigzagged all the way up and down, going through the whole place with my sister and Erica and Linda and stuff. And it was fun because, you know, sometimes one of us would linger at a booth or whatever. Other times, you know, the others would just move forward. And, you know, different people like different things. And having multiple sets of eyes of, hey, did you notice this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I get into a sensory overload experience at these conventions. So much to look at, so much to get enthralled by, and it's one of those things, ooh, shiny. You know, it's fun, but if you're not careful, it can be expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So, But yeah, I spent Friday doing most of that. That was a lot of fun. They had a good mix of exhibitors. Marvel was there, Boom was there, Dark Horse was there, obviously Tomorrow's was there. So they had a number of publishers. Big Dog was there, Valiant was there. So that was cool. They had a really good showing there. This is also probably the best comic book related Marvel booth I've seen in ages.
Okay, explain that.
Well, because again, my convention going experience is probably fairly anomalous compared to most people. I've mainly been going to San Diego.
Sure.
I've been to Dragon Con, but Marvel never really showed there the years I was going. I went to MegaCon once. Marvel wasn't there. And for the last 7 years, whatever, at San Diego, it's been Marvel Entertainment that has a booth, not so much Marvel Comics.
Okay.
The last time Marvel Comics had a booth in San Diego, I'm going to say it was maybe 10 years ago. And it was vacant. There was nobody running it. There were no autograph sessions. There was not much of anything. It was dead.
Wow.
They just didn't have the manpower. They didn't know what to do with it at the time. They didn't want to deal with it, I guess. Here, this was clearly a Marvel Comics booth. They had creators signing. They did a great job running it. They had a huge crowd when they were doing the giveaways. They seemed to generate a lot of interest and excitement and do it based on the comics, not based on the movies. I really respect that. I think their team just did a fantastic job this year at that convention. So I was really pleased with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I passed by it a few times when I was there, and yeah, there was a lot of things going on. They were showing little clips from Guardians of the Galaxy and then doing some discussions. I really didn't spend a lot of time there, but it was nice to see them there. I mean, I've never, you know, Marvel never comes to Detroit. So it's, you know, this is the first time I've seen a Marvel booth. So,
well, and again, it all comes down to what you're used to and stuff.
Sure.
And I'm very much, you know, I take the San Diego experience, I don't say for granted. I know it's anomalous. I know it's very different, but that's just what I kind of grew up with. I got real lucky in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that really blew me away was, man, the Artist Alley was huge.
Oh, yeah.
I would put it on par with San Diego. I may be a little off in terms of how big it was compared to San Diego, whatever, but it just, I mean, they had rows of tables A through V with at least, you know, 10, 15 people or whatever per one of those rows.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Norton was there. Steve Bryant was there. Tom Zoller was there. Had a great discussion with him. Love talking with him.
Uh-huh.
He does Love and Capes and stuff.
Right, right.
Steve Bryant from Athena Voltaire. Obviously, Mike Norton from, like, everything else. I didn't have enough of a chance to talk with Mike. I went over at one point. He was kind of busy doing some stuff. And the other times I went back, he just presumably was out signing at one of the many publishers he's doing work for or something. I am amazed by how both how talented he is and how prolific he is. He's somebody I always like to spend time with. He's fun to talk with. Most of the creators I know are. They're right. Great people. I went to a panel on Friday. It was the digital comics versus print comics, and they had a person, a retailer representing one side and a digital publisher representing the other, and of course it was Mark Waid on both sides. I was hoping for a much more, you know, drag down, you know, fight or some such, but he was pretty amicable with himself. Go figure.
Yeah, right.
And he brought up some really interesting points about how Thrillbent, which has just moved to a subscription model, I think it's $3.99 a month, you get everything, and they still have some stuff for free, but they realized, you know, we might want to make some money. Can't say I fault them for that.
No.
But how that was material that, frankly, was never going to make it into retailer stores as print comics because he couldn't find a way to make that viable. So he's doing some really interesting stuff with digital. I tend to be on the camp right now, and I may change my mind, that the way his vision of digital is and my vision of digital don't totally coincide. Have you read The Private Eye by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin?
No, I have not.
Digital comic, and it's basically they take a print comic, flip it to where it's landscape, go with that way. And it changes how you do the layouts a little and some of that stuff.
Sure.
But I read it on my tablet. It fits the screen perfectly. It's read a page, swipe, read the next page, swipe, read the next page. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's an awesome story, too. Whereas Wade's vision of digital comics is taking more advantage of the technical aspect. And it's kind of more like the Marvel Infinite comics. You get an image, and it's more like a panel than a page. Swipe, you get some dialogue. Swipe, you get some more dialogue. Swipe, they do like a zoom effect or something. Mm-hmm. You know, or a blur or something like that. Swipe. And it takes about 15, 20 swipes sometimes to get through a page. Mm. And then you got like 20 or 30 of those pages.
Right.
So you're going through, it seems like 1,000 swipes or whatever. Now, maybe I'm just way too lazy for that. But it's a little bit more work. Those pages don't always fit the screen on my tablet and stuff. It's what he's doing is interesting. I think there's a lot of merit to it. Just not the kind of thing I want to be investing my time in.
Right, right.
But I thought he had some really good points on both the print side and the digital side. And between what you know, them shifting their business model there a little bit, Amazon taking over Comixology, I really think the digital space could change quite a bit over the next year or two.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So I'm going to see if I can get another roundtable together on that, because I think there's just a ton to talk about there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but definitely.
That was a fun panel. Trying to think what else I did Friday. That was most of it. It was just kind of going around. I spent, again, most of the day just walking the floor. And that was quite a bit of exercise for my lazy bum. I just don't do that much walking. I survived fine, but yeah, it was and that's what I loved about the con, is it was big enough that it took most of the day to walk around. Mm-hmm. It took some effort to do that, but it was not like a death march. I didn't feel I was rushed, and I wasn't dead by the time I was done. Uh-huh. It was a comfortable size convention, plenty to go see and do. Yet, you know, not, oh my God, it's overwhelming. Am I ever going to finish this?
Right, right.
So I thought that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then went out to eat that night with friends and stuff. That was a lot of fun. Then the next day, Saturday, my sister and I convinced Linda to take us on a side trip to go see something that our dad had told us about since we were in the Chicago area. We did that. That was fun, and then we made it to the convention probably around noonish after also having breakfast.
Right.
I decided, since it was the first time I'd seen Chris in ages, I would just kind of bum around the Tomorrow's booth quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I did that. That was kind of fun. I am way too much of an introvert to ever agree to actually work a booth, but hanging loose at one when I could escape whenever I wanted to, that's not so bad.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, hanging with Chris is great fun. He's a great guy.
Sure.
Also, that day, recorded an episode with John Suntress of Word Balloon, Stevie of Comic Book Queers. I am forgetting the person from Double Page Spread. I apologize. Blanking on the name. I really should have taken better notes. And, of course, Chris. Well, Chris was still running the booth. So there was a couple of times he would kind of duck out of the conversation. We just took Chris's Zoom H2. It was a handheld recorder microphone thing, and just kind of passed it around as we talked.
Right.
That was a ton of fun. I'll be honest, I haven't decided if I'm going to put that up on this feed or not, because I have it all ages, nice clean language podcast, and not all podcasters do.
And yeah, that's a fact.
I respect that. They want to talk the way they want to talk. That's awesome. That's what I love about podcasting, is the only restrictions you have are the self-imposed ones.
Right.
And it's one of those things that I could put it up, just put a big, hey, there's language here. Mm-hmm. Or I could edit it and say, I don't want to edit them. So I haven't decided what to do there. It's up on, I think Chris put it up on his feed on Collected Comics Library. I'm pretty sure it's gone up on the other shows too, but it was a great discussion. A lot of fun talking with those people. I'm John Suntress, of course, Word Balloon, probably one of the best interviewers in terms of comic book podcasting and stuff out there.
Uh-huh.
And just hanging with him a bit, tons of fun. He usually moderates these days the panel at San Diego. Great guy.
Yeah.
And hadn't met Stevie before. He was really fun to talk with and stuff. And the lady from Double Page Spread, again, whose name I apologize for blanking on. I am horrible with names. she was a lot of fun to talk to also. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and then later in I'm trying to remember if we did later that afternoon or the next morning, Chris and I recorded a little bit, just kind of an impromptu thing, since we were there face to face.
Right.
And then I also went to the Power Rangers reunion panel they had at C2E2.
Oh, okay.
They had the second Red Ranger and the guys who played Bulk and Skull, and labeled that a Power Rangers reunion. I don't know. I'm old fashioned. I would think you need to have more than one Power Ranger to actually have a reunion. Flip side, the guy who plays Bulk was on the show longer than anybody, so that kind of counts.
Yeah, sure.
And it was interesting because that was the panel where I really noticed one of the differences between C2E2 and San Diego.
And what's that?
San Diego is much more of kind of an all-ages kind of a convention. They have, when you go up on the panels and stuff, hey, you know, don't do any foul language. We're trying to keep this appropriate for all ages, that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And C2E2 apparently does not.
Oh.
So there was a bit more foul language and stuff like that, and that's fine. It's just a different flavor of convention, different flavor of panel.
Right.
You know, that was not something I'd even given any thought to prior to hearing some of the things on you know, some of the panels. And really that one, because, I mean, Wade, it's not like he swears like a sailor or anything. Jeez.
Yeah.
He may complain like one at times, though. I'm giving him a hard time again. Great guy. Tons of respect for Wade. But yeah, the Power Ranger one was fun. I'm just a big fan of the show and the Super Sentai stuff. And, so did that, and that was really the highlights on Friday. I you know, wandered over to Artist Alley a bit and a few other booths. But that was a little bit more of a kind of a low key day, just to again hang with Chris and chat with him some.
Did you do any shopping at all?
I did a little bit of shopping, not too much. Most of that, all of that I did on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday, I did a kind of a blitz back zipping through all the aisles and such. And there was one of the smaller press booths that was, as I walked by, hey, have you heard about our comic? It's a... you know, this guy in Japan back in the 1800s or whatever, fighting this war, and it sounded interesting enough. It's like, you know what? What the heck? I think it was $13 for 3 issues or 4 issues, something like that. Mm. Seemed like a good deal. Seemed like decent art, so I've picked that up. I haven't read it yet. But that was one of the other things I liked about C2E2 is there were some smaller press publishers that I forget which company that was. Unstoppable Comics was one. And a few others that they just can't get the foot in the door at San Diego.
Right.
So the fact they had a chance to engage with potential readers one-on-one and stuff, I thought was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There are some of those that are going more digital these days, a little bit more kind of print on demand. And I'll admit that I get most of my comics through previews, through, you know, DCBS and Diamond, mm-hmm. that if I don't think I'm going to get future issues that way, it's like, do I really want to invest?
Right, right.
And that's I don't say that's unfair of me. I think it's highly reasonable of me. But it's unfortunate that that's kind of the way the business model works.
Right.
And it makes it hard for some of the smaller press guys.
And they've kind of almost forced you into that situation.
Yeah. It's funny because one of the comics Drew and I reviewed a while back was Super, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a little harsh on it and stuff, a little hard. And because it just wasn't a great first issue, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But to their credit, they said, hey, thanks for giving us a shot. You had some good points. Can we send you a PDF of future issues? Maybe we can lure you back in. And we're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they did, because I thought their second issue was actually a much better one than their first, because they'd kind of gotten some of that stuff out of the way. They could move on with the story.
Right.
But the weekend of C2E2, they had... they've already got the third issue out. They had just sent a press copy of the fourth issue with the news that was going to be digital only.
Oh.
And it's hard for, I think, some of these smaller press guys to really get noticed, get the attention they deserve, and get the sales they need to stay in print.
Right, right.
You know, and I don't know how much of that was their decision versus Diamond saying, you know, it wasn't enough to be worth our time or whatever, because that's happened a few times.
Sure, sure.
It's just, it's an unfortunate situation all the way around. It's not good for the creators, it's not good for the readers, it's not good for, frankly, for Diamond.
Now, do you think that since Amazon has taken over Comixology, that that might actually be better for these smaller publishers that are basically going digital only because of that reason?
Comixology has the submit program where pretty much anything that's not, you know, just, oh my God, horrible, has a shot of getting in pretty easily, I think. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're making sure it's competent, but they're not making any kind of judgment call in terms of whether it's high art or worthy or, you know, whatever. They're not acting as a serious gatekeeper, but they're also making sure it's not just some kid scribbling and saying, oh, it's brilliant.
Right.
And that's a probably a really unfair synopsis of what Comixology Submit is, but so be it. I think that gives a lot of smaller publishers and creators a foot in the door to get their stuff out there.
Right.
And I think just being able to get it out there is highly advantageous. That is no guarantee of success.
No, no, but it's better than sitting on it, right?
Exactly. Well, you can't be successful if nobody ever has a chance to see your work.
Right.
You know, so it makes it a little bit more of a meritocracy, but it's also one of those things, just as great stuff can get lost in the back pages of previews, it can get even more lost, if ever seen, in something like Comixology.
Mm, that's true.
With Amazon having bought Comixology and then getting rid of the in-app purchases and some stuff like that, I really don't know what direction the digital market's going to go in. I certainly don't think it's going to collapse or whatever, but it really, I think, makes it that much harder for smaller press guys to get noticed.
Are they going to continue with the submit?
As far as I know, but if you had asked me the day before they got rid of the in-app purchases if they were going to continue with that, I would have said, sure, why not?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Frankly, I was stunned how quickly the Amazon purchase had a tangible effect.
Right.
I figured it would have taken more time just to kind of shake stuff out or whatever.
Yeah, just to work bugs out and kind of get comfortable and familiar with it.
Yeah, or figure out who was in charge to make what decisions sort of thing.
Right.
But again, it's an interesting time for digital. I think there are a lot of opportunities available to the smaller press guys that weren't there 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. Whether or not that's actually helping them enough, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things I bought. I think what else I bought? I bought something else, but it hadn't come yet. It's one of those that came with free shipping and it'll show up. So I'll talk about that when it comes.
Okay.
If it's not complete and utter waste of money, in which case I'm going to disavow ever having bought it.
Smart move.
Well, the other thing I did Sunday that I really enjoyed was Chris knows like everybody, it seems like. He's much better at networking than I am. I am a complete and utter introvert. I have been to San Diego every year but one for like the last 30. So if I really wanted to get to know some of these people and felt comfortable doing so, I'm sure I could have. But I finally met Aub over at Dark Horse, Hunter over at Valiant, some of the guys over at Marvel, talked to some of the people over at Zenoscope. Obviously, Tom Hutchinson over at Big Dog Inc., which was right across from where Chris was at Tomorrow's. So I got to talk to a lot of people, got some good introductions there and stuff. That was fun. The other thing I did Sunday was starting at the other end, closer to kind of the tattoo pavilion or whatever, where more of the retailers were. I decided, hey, you know, there are a lot of retailers I don't get to see. I wonder if they have business cards.
Oh, right.
Because I'm nominally trying to collect business cards. I don't get out much, so it's a tiny collection and not growing quickly. but I came out with a stack that I need to scan in and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting because I noticed one trend that I'm going to say is complete coincidence, I hope. I would go to one, it's like, hey, can I get a business card? Oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Can I get a business card? We don't have any. We're from Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
And I presume they were telling me that of, i.e. we're not local, you can't come shop with us. But when I had like two or three, not in a row, but in fairly short succession, no, I'm from Los Angeles, as if that was why they didn't have business cards. I just thought that was funny.
It's because like, we're from Los Angeles, we don't have to print business cards.
I'm pretty sure they used them there.
Yeah, sure.
But it was funny. And of course, on Sunday, I got to meet you for the first time face to face. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what all did you do on Sunday? Because you seem to be making some purchases and going out and about quite a bit.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I really did myself a disservice by not making that at least a two-day trip. Mm-hmm. First of all, the funny story about this all is Friday I started getting what I thought was a head cold.
Mm-hmm.
And was not feeling the greatest on Saturday, so kind of took it a little bit easy because I knew I was going to have to get up early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
From where I live, kind of 35 miles northwest of the farthest reaches of the Detroit area, it's about a 4.5 to 5 hour drive to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So got up early, completely forgot about the time shift. Because they're an hour behind us. We're Eastern time. They're Central time like you are.
Uh-huh.
And could have probably left an hour earlier or hour later and gotten another hour of sleep, but didn't. But it was probably a good thing all in all because ended up getting a really good parking spot and got in there and got all the stuff that, you know, we needed to get, you know, in order to get in there because I had printed out my my tickets on the computer and mm-hmm. then had to get the, you know, the badges and all that kind of stuff. And so I had a little bit of, you know, rigmarole. Oh, and just finding the place, you know, wasn't the hardest, but wasn't the easiest either. Now, I've been to Chicago a number of times. I used to go to Chicago. I'm a big Beatles fan. They have what they used to call Beatles Fest. It's now mm-hmm. the Fest for Beatles fans. And they do that once a year in Chicago. And I used to go quite a bit. Went and saw Paul McCartney in Chicago, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
So, and my buddy's family lives in Chicago. And I'd been there the last couple of years for some family functions and stuff. So, you know, it's not like I'm unfamiliar with it. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm really super familiar with it either. So finding the place was... You know, it was kind of tricky, but found it.
Well, when we were getting there the first day, Linda was driving. She's, you know, from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, her sister, was there navigating.
Okay.
And we wound up, like, on every side of the McCormick Center before we could get to where we could park and get in the door or whatever. So, yeah, it's if you don't do it just right, it's possible to get a little lost, yeah.
Well, luckily, kind of... almost lucked right into it. Just as we pulled off the freeway, bingo, there was, you know, McCormick Place and I just seemed to take the right spot and I was right in parking lot A for that building and away we went. So ended up on the fourth level of that, which was perfect because that's where the Skyway walks you over to the mm-hmm. particular building. So anyway, we ended up sitting in line because there was that big, you know, huge line outside of the, you know, actual main room where they start lining you up. And we were probably 20 feet from, you know, the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we, you know, obviously when we got there, we were at the end of the line and all of a sudden this line snaked all the way around. So, you know, we got in there pretty early. Kind of walked around a little bit. I wanted to make a beeline instantly for the Tomorrow's booth, but I couldn't find a Tomorrow's booth. And I was, you know, I had the program and it said, you know, which booth Tomorrow's was supposed to be at, but nowhere on the program did it show that booth. So I'm like, okay, this is this number and this is this number and this is the next number consecutive to that number. Where the hell is this booth? Couldn't find it. So we ended up just kind of walking back and forth, until finally stumbled on it, and there you were, and mm-hmm. there was Chris. And like I said, kind of did myself a disservice. I really wasn't feeling the greatest that day, but I was just excited being there. Basically, just made the rounds of the entire place a number of different times. Was looking for different things. I saw Neil Adams. I really wanted to pick something up from him. I got to say hi to him, which was cool because he's one of my favorite artists.
Well, I can totally understand that. Yeah.
And I'd never met the guy before. So it was that was very cool. Saw some of his artwork, but his stuff was just way out of my price range. Unfortunately, I was kind of on a budget. And so I had to kind of figure out exactly what it was like. And the thing was, is, you know, it was almost like a circus, like the Barkers, you know, were saying out there, hey, come over here. I got something to show you. And hey, there was a guy. We walked up the one aisle. there was a guy there who was selling TEMS units. Now, I don't know if you know or if the people that are listening know, a TEMS unit is one of those things that you, it's got the two electrodes and you put it on your back, and if you have neck or back problems, it sends a jolt into your muscles and tenses up your muscles and ends up, you know, relaxing you. And
so
if you have,
voluntary electroshock therapy?
Basically. Now, I used to, okay. I've had some neck and back problems before, so the doctor I used to go to had one of these things, and I always told him, you know, one of these days you better look out, because I'm going to walk out with that machine. I just love the thing, right? Well, this thing was a little tiny, it looked like an iPod mini, okay, and it had the wheel on it, and it was, like I said, it was that big, and wow. It plugged, you know, there was something that plugged into the top, and it had the two electrodes, and the guy sat me down, put it on my back, and I was like in heaven. This thing was wonderful. But what is that doing at C2E2? So, you know, there was just a lot of that kind of stuff there, which was interesting.
I noticed a few things like that, but I didn't notice that much that seemed totally out of place.
Well, I guess, you know, again, with my background of the, you know, the conventions that I go to, you would never see anything like that there.
Okay, it
just,
fair enough.
It amazed me, you know, and then there was authors there that were, you know, writing books, regular prose books, and they were selling their wares there, which was interesting, and that happens at some of the, you know, other conventions I've been to. So checked out a few of those, and then went back and hung out with you guys for a bit, then, you know, and Chris was nice enough to allow us to, you know, leave our stuff there at the booth, so that was pretty cool. And yeah, as far as the food situation, yeah, you're probably smart doing that, because got a bite to eat there, and oh my god, very expensive and not very good, and some of the stuff that they had, they were actually out of. So it was like, you know, you had a few choices of a couple of things that were extremely expensive, and then just trying to get, you know, sit down someplace where you could actually eat. That was, you know, we basically had to wait for somebody to, you know, get up off their table and move, and then we'd instantly swarm in on it. So that was a little uncomfortable. But yeah, I ended up, there's a, what was the place? Super World Comics. Mm-hmm. Ted runs the place, and he's I guess I wouldn't call him a friend, but he's an acquaintance. He's always at Motor City. Him and I share a similar taste in music. I've laid him on to a lot of MP3s of stuff that he's interested in, and I buy a bunch of books from him, so I hung out with him for a little bit. Motor City Comics was there, and the guy who runs that booth, he's the guy who actually runs the Motor City Comic Con.
Ah, okay.
And he deals in mainly very high-end silver and golden age books, so I don't buy from him, basically, because his stuff is way out of my price range, unfortunately. But at Ted's Super World, I ended up getting that Batman 31 that mm-hmm. I showed you.
Nice,
and I was really pleased with that. Found a couple other dealers, got some fill-ins in my Avengers and Captain America runs. That I was looking for, spent a good coin there. I kind of went a little bit over the budget I had planned on. But I could have gotten that TEMS unit for like $125, and I really should have, now that I think about it. It started out at like $200 and almost $300, and he gives you a pair of sandals with these weird balls in the bottom of them. And then he said, well, okay, I'll give you this at this discounted price. And then he keeps looking at me, and he goes, okay, tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the TEMS unit without the sandals, which I wouldn't have wanted anyway, for $125. And I'm going, oh. You know, and as I'm sitting there, you know, having this thing jolt me, and I'm loving every second of it, you know, I really should have found some way to do that, because that thing was wonderful. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, checked out Artist Alley. Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of, I think it actually went down to row S, because we were looking for a couple of authors, prose
book
authors. I've got
the map in front of me, and it lists to V.
Does it list to V? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, looking for some people, I kind of just basically scanned. And again, like I said, it's a disservice. I didn't have that much time to spend, you know, looking, because I like to walk out of a con with at least one piece of art, whether it be a page or, you know, a small commission of some sort. Didn't get a chance to do that. I could have gotten a reprinted cover, Neil Adams cover with his signature on it for like $65. And I was like, that's a little out of my price range for something like that. I would have really liked to have had something original from him, but that was going to be big change and I just didn't have it.
Part of it for me was, since I flew in for this, it's like I gotta, and I was doing it on carry-ons. It's like, there's only so much space on stuff I can bring back.
Right, right. But and then you got to see, too, with me, I drove a two-seater Solstice out there from Detroit, which has zero trunk room. So I was kind of in the same boat. Yeah. It was like, you know, it was going to be magazines and flat stuff that I could basically throw in there and not get damaged. So, it was a really disservice. I really should have tried to make it for an overnight stay. That way I would have been able to spend a little bit more time kind of wandering around. I did stop at Big Dog Inc. and praise their books, because I really do like – I'm a big Critter fan. I like Critter.
Yeah.
And I made sure that they knew that. They ended up giving me a copy of Scheherazade?
Yeah, that's one of their newer titles.
Right. They gave me a zero issue of that, which was cool.
I'm enjoying that title. It's fun.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I'm not, you know, I don't know, but I'll have to definitely check that one out.
What really surprised me with them is they were, again, right across from Tomorrow, so I had a good view of them the entire time I was there, sitting with Chris. They were doing kind of a kickoff for the Joan of Arc ongoing they're doing.
Right.
They had a pretty impressive crowd there.
They did. It seemed like every time I walked by them, they had a lot of people looking around and checking things out. So I was pretty impressed for a, you know, I mean, they only put out, what, five titles?
Yeah, five, six titles, if that. And, I mean, they're consistent. They've been around 5 years. They do great work.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also the size publisher that's easy to get ignored by a lot of people.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, particularly when they were doing the kickoff, they were giving away some comics. They had a crowd at least 3-4 people deep around the entire booth, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the crowd the rest of the time came and went or whatever, but they seemed to do really good business, and I was really pleased to see that.
Right, right.
Been a big fan of theirs for a while, and I like seeing them successful.
Yeah, I mean, I've been buying Critters since the original the one shot,
and
and then I picked up the second mini series, and then I've been picking up the ongoing ever since, and I love the book. I mean, I like the art, I like the story. It's just a really well done book, I think, and so I was really happy to see them there and happy to give them my congratulations on what they're doing. So. And then Dark Horse was right there also, right around the corner from them. Checked them out for a while. Again, went over to the Marvel thing, especially towards, you clued me in to go over, or was it your sister? Your sister clued me in to go over there at the end, towards the end of the day, because they were just going to be giving away stuff like crazy. So went over there and made a mad dash for some of their stuff. Some of those preview books that they put out and calendars and it looked like photo stats of drawings and stuff that they were just giving away. So
now, did you get the giveaway they were doing for Original Sin?
No, I did not.
They are these little golf ball sized like glow bounce balls or whatever.
Really?
That are the Watcher's eye.
Oh my God.
And it was a little slimy type thing. It's like, it's on the one hand a little cool, on the other hand a little gross.
A little disturbing, yeah.
Yeah.
When when were they giving that away?
It seemed like every time I went by the booth.
Really? No, I didn't see any of that stuff. And that's the thing. It was kind of a weird booth, because it wasn't like they had a table where at least from what I saw, it was more like a stage with a backdrop.
Well,
and I didn't see any table around there where people were sitting, you know, chatting and whatever else.
When I was in the booth, you had the stage. If you're facing the stage, mm-hmm. kind of off to your right there on the side of the booth. That's where they had a table or two where people could do some signings.
Okay. Yeah, see, I didn't see much of that going on Sunday. But there seemed to be people standing around. Oh, and then they had a costume thing where a bunch of people in you know, costumes, Marvel costumes,
yeah.
you know, got up there. Little kids and older people.
There were some good costumes at C2E2 this year. I was impressed.
But, you know, it didn't seem to me like there was that much cosplay going on. I mean, there were a few of them, yeah, that I saw. Yeah, there was a great Kitty Pryde that was sitting in front of me in line when we were waiting to go in. And she really looked the part. But I really don't recall seeing a whole lot of people dressed
up. I saw quite a bit. Maybe it was more on Friday, Saturday, but I saw a lot.
Okay. Yeah, it didn't seem like there was much on Sunday. There was a bunch. I mean, there was, you know, your Star Wars stuff and Game of Thrones?
Mm.
Yeah, there was a lot of that stuff. And there was a lot of those retailers there, too, with the helmets and the swords and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, a decent amount of fantasy-type stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was also a lot of action figure dealers. They were more over on the other side, not where all the comic retailers were. A lot of that kind of stuff going on there. But as far as, like I said, cosplay, I didn't see a whole lot of it on Sunday.
There was, like I said, some earlier in the week. There were also two booths, one of which was over by the Tattoo Pavilion. I forget what the other one was. I think it was more on the other side of the hall. That did 3D scanning of people.
Oh, really?
So if you were there in costume mm-hmm. for like $100 or whatever, you could get a 3D scan of yourself made. And I think one of them would even be able to print it out on a 3D printer or whatever and send it to you.
Oh, wow. That would be cool.
That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. Over there, they were doing, by the tattoo booths, they were doing some signings. Some of the authors were doing signings.
Mm-hmm.
We were over there for a little bit. Yeah, and then, like I said, checked out some of those retailers there. You know, basically, you know, spent the entire day right on that floor. Now some of the panels were on the upper floor. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. That was one of the things, if I had the trip to do over again, I would have actually, I don't know, maybe taken a look at the map of McCormick Place before going to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, when I went to the convention, I got, I don't know if the guy pointed me in the wrong direction or if I just got turned around. I went off in, like, the complete wrong direction to get to the Mark Waid panel.
Okay.
So I finally hit one of their information booths. It's like, I want to go there. How do I get there? And they pointed me in the right direction. I was good.
Right.
And fortunately, I knew who Mark Waid was. So that was the only part of the intros I missed. So no harm, no foul.
Right.
But then the next day, because it was, you go out of the exhibit hall, hang a right, go up the escalator, and then hang a right, and you get to all the south rooms.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize until the next day when I was heading to the Power Rangers one is while it goes 401, 402, 403, 404, whatever on the south, if you had taken a left like I didn't, that's where you would almost, not immediately, but in short order, hit, you know, 427 north. So I'm heading all the way down the south hallway wondering how come it's stopping and I'm not anywhere near. Oh, I guess that N means something.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, right.
That's really the trick when going to any convention for the first time is
right.
I spent a little time going over the floor plan of the exhibit hall just to kind of get the lay of the land and figure out a game plan for zigzagging through things.
Right.
I really should have done that for the entire convention center.
Now, if you would have been there the previous years, according to Mr. Christopher Niesman, he says basically this year, I guess they have now occupied each section of McCormick, because I guess there's a north, south, and east and west hall, basically.
There are different halls, and I was getting that from Erica and Linda. It's like, yeah, last year it was over here, and mm-hmm. it was over there, and
right.
they keep kind of moving it around.
Right, so if you would have been there last year and then tried to correlate that with what was going on for this year, it wouldn't have made any difference whatsoever, because it was a completely different part of the hall. I mean, that place is huge.
I was amazed how big McCormick Place was again.
Yes.
It was gargantuan.
It was. It was.
And that, I think, is great for C2E2 because that means they got room to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
San Diego is pretty much capped as to how big it can get. I mean, they've already expanded into the nearby hotels, the parking lot, the baseball stadium, and most of the gas lamp. And yeah, they just don't have anywhere else they can really go.
Now, did you hear anything at all about C2E2 being sold out in any one day?
No, but I didn't really have my ear to the ground on any of that either.
As far as I know, it wasn't. Now, obviously, you know, I mean, San Diego is sold out from the minute they go on sale online, which is, what, 3 days after the convention is over, correct?
The way they do it is you get a code, and then about a month or two back, they opened it up for sales at 9 a.m., and they changed, because I was asking Linda and Erica who go, and they have to go through the system.
Right.
And it was one of those, you get the code for San Diego, you can log into the website between 7 and 9, there's a random waiting room type thing. Once you get out of the waiting room into the registration thing, you got 15 minutes, you can buy up to 4 people's passes or whatever. Right. So these people, Erica and Linda, are very well organized. I am amazed by this. They were sitting there apparently doing like a conference call between the two of them. Are you in yet? I'm in yet. Okay, how about this? Who do we need to get for this? Yada, yada, you know. So the minute they were there, they could just pounce on the damn thing.
Right.
Which you got to do,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But see, I didn't hear anything about it being, you know, at all sold out at C2E2. So there was room. From what I understand, too, again, listening to Chris Niesman, he mentioned that he had heard that attendance was actually down this year from last year.
Interesting. I have no way of knowing either way. It seemed to be a good attendance level.
Oh, yeah.
There
I
was
think
a,
so, too.
A lot of people, a lot of activity, but not to the point where you just couldn't get anywhere.
Well, and that's what I liked about it. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, if it stayed at this level, that would be a completely comfortable thing, you know, all around, you know, as far as just being able to get through the place and get to see the retailers and the guests and whatever else. I, you know, from what I have seen and what I've heard from you and others at San Diego, it's just like an absolute nightmare trying to get around and see things and whatever over there compared to, you know, when I'm experienced here at C2E2.
Yeah, definitely. C2E2, I could get into the Marvel booth. San Diego, I can get in the vicinity of.
Right.
And I just don't want to deal with the big crowds at, like, the Dark Horse booth in San Diego. Here, I had a nice, good conversation with Aub and Chris there and stuff for a while. It was it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had stuff going on. They had people there buying stuff and doing things. But you could hold a conversation easily.
Oh, yeah, sure. And yeah, that was a great thing, you know, getting up to the Tomorrow's booth and, you know, being able to talk to you and Chris for a while, you know, before, you know, I get my bearings as to where I'm going. And of course, you know, just being able to leave my stuff at your booth, which was cool. I'm sure I would have never been able to do that anywhere in San Diego.
That's all Chris. He was really cool about that. There were
a number
of people who were leaving stuff there, zipping back in and out. I met a ton of people, Will Pfeiffer, Michael O'D, gosh, I don't even remember all of them.
Yeah, see, that's, I missed, you know, getting to meet some of those people, and I would have liked to have met Chris Niesman.
Same here. I never saw him. Was he actually on the floor this year?
He was there Friday, and he was thinking of going Saturday, but he ended up doing something with some people that were there. And then Sunday he had a softball game.
Ah.
So yeah, he was pretty much only there on Friday. So I would have liked to have met him. You know, that's another guy that, you know, I listen to all the time and, you know, haven't had a chance to meet. It was too bad the rest of the guys weren't there. I would have liked to have met them too.
Yeah. Same here. That was one of the things that got me to go to C2E2 is I know there are a lot of podcasters kind of in that Chicago general area, at least more general area than say San Diego or Austin. So just getting to meet some people and stuff, that was a lot of the draw for me.
Well, that was my main reason for going. I mean, you know, I knew I was going to probably do some purchases and I knew I wasn't going to be able to see everything, but you know, the fact that, you know, I got to be there and like I said, this is probably, you know, my first major con. So, you know, I was there, I got to meet you, I got to meet some other people that I communicate with. It was just really nice. I mean, met up with Andy Sanford and his wife. Got to chit chat with them for a while. It was just fun. You know, it was more of a communal thing. You know, and I knew, you know, a number of people at this one. Even at Motor City Comic Con, I only know a handful of people there, and most of them are retailers that I've dealt with before. And of course, Chris comes there, and I, you know, get to hang out with him for a little while. I mean, it seems like I knew more people at C2E2 than I actually know at my local, you know, comic convention. So that was pretty cool. You know, I had a really good time. I took a lot of pictures, shared pictures with a bunch of people, and it was good. It was a great time.
It's funny because I brought a camera with me. I took some photos with the digital camera, none of them actually in the convention center.
Really?
And I haven't gone through my cell phone to see if I got much there, because that's what I had with me. I mean, I'm just lazy enough I wasn't pulling out my camera and stuff.
Well, that's what I did, too. I just pulled out my phone and started taking pictures. So, you know, it's like there was that one towards the center of the particular floor that we were on. Mm-hmm. There's that restaurant kind of raised up in the air there. There's a set of escalators that are next to it.
The cafe area up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right.
My sister went up there and took photos, and I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, that's what I did. Well, you know, that's where I went to get a bite to eat and was thoroughly disappointed, which was a shame. But yeah, I mean, you had a great view of everything from there. You know, it was like right in the center, and you can walk around the thing and see everything that was going on.
I noticed that. Like I said, never got up there. I'm curious about the view.
It was great. It was great. I was calling myself Quasimodo. I was up there in the bell tower taking pictures, you know. So, it was, you know, it was a great experience. It's one that I may even think about doing next year and maybe, you know, do the 2-day bit. I don't know if I could handle the 3-day. By the time that I got done, my back was killing me. And I was starting to suffer from whatever it was that I thought I had, the head cold. It turned into something more. And then luckily I took Monday off of work. So, you know, just to kind of rest from it. Well, I apparently got the con crud and ended up with 100.2 temperature on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wasn't feeling very good at all. And I didn't get home again until it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I had left at 4:30. Hold on. Yeah, 4:30 in the morning.
That kind of round trip in and of itself is going to wear you out.
Oh, definitely. You know, and you know, the trip going there didn't seem as long as a trip going home. You know, it was like, I want to get home now, you know. So, but yeah, it was an exhausting day. It was a lot of fun. I definitely would like to do it again. But again, I'm not sure if I could do another just, you know, one day out there. You know, run out there and run back.
Well, for me, it was a fly out on Thursday, be there for Friday, Saturday, and then fly out Sunday afternoon.
Right.
And that worked out reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time, again, hanging with friends, doing dinner with them every night and such, going to different great places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Zoco was one of them. Life, we did that place for breakfast one time. Cheeseburger in Paradise, which I've never been to one of those chains before or whatever. Uh-huh. That was fun.
Uh-huh.
And then again, I think having spent Friday was a good day to walk the floor before the crowds really got there.
Right.
Hanging out, meeting people, doing a little shopping and stuff Sunday.
Uh-huh.
For me, the 3 days make sense. Definitely something I'm interested in doing again. I did not get approved this year for a press badge. I'm hoping to get one next year.
Oh, I'm really surprised at that. I was going to ask you about that.
I just don't fill out the forms very well because, I mean, I've been podcasting since 2007. I've got 800-plus episodes up there. I write for Comic Book Resources, whatever. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, didn't get it, fine. I can afford the ticket or whatever.
Right, right.
But, you know, again, next year I'd like to actually get a press pass or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, meeting like Hunter, chatting with him and the guys over at Valiant, the great crew there, mm-hmm. guys over at Dark Horse, Zenoscope, Avatar. And it was funny because Zenoscope and Avatar, I was very upfront with them. I do a podcast. We got the preview spotlight stuff. I don't really read much of your stuff. And, you know, explain. Some of it's just not to my taste. Some of it's just, you know, I mean, I'm just not that familiar with it. So, and they took it well. And sometimes it's like, hey, or try this. What about this? Whatever. So it was fun meeting a lot of these people and stuff.
Well, I mean, and that gets you, I mean, you know, if they don't know of you at that point, at least they do. And if they're really interested in promoting their stuff, they can always send you, you know, PDFs or something so that you could check them out.
Exactly. And I tried to hand all of the publishers both my own business card and the business card for the preview spotlight. Because, I mean, the whole point of those episodes is to promote their stuff.
Right.
You know, right. Like it or not, comics are a pre-order business.
Right.
And most of the guys there seem to really appreciate, you know, what I'm trying to do and stuff. And a lot of them have read my articles on CBR and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm. Now I saw that Diamond was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. That was the one thing I kind of went scrounging around for freebie T-shirts. I ended up getting a free comic book day T-shirt from Diamond.
Cool.
Which was cool. I always order one every year from them anyway. So now I got me an extra one. And then my buddy at Superworld, he's been promising me a T-shirt for like 3 years. And just all of a sudden dawned on me, hey, T-shirts. He goes, you know what? I got a whole bag right here. Boom, threw me a couple, you know, and so it was great. But I'm kind of surprised now. Maybe I just didn't see them. The people we order from.
DCBS was yes, not there to my knowledge.
Okay.
I had let them know I was going to come because I finally met them face-to-face this past year in San Diego.
Right, right.
And, you know, I felt like a bit of an idiot because I've been dealing with them for 10 years. I'm sitting there up on the panel for the podcasting stuff, which is one of the mm-hmm. few places they knew they'd find me.
Sure.
And John's like, yeah, Cammy, hey, how you doing? And finally somebody says, yeah, those are the people at DCBS. Oh. It's like, you know, again, never seen them.
Right.
Great people, though. Great doing business with them and stuff. Love dealing with them. Would have liked to have seen them, but I don't think they made it as far as I know.
I'm really surprised because, I mean, to them, that's pretty much a local show.
It's pretty much a local show, but it may also come down to where were they at in terms of what all they need to be doing for DCBS and in-stock trades.
Well, and I get that. But, you know, it would have been nice to have seen them there. And I did look, but, I missed a lot of stuff, I'm sure, as I was, you know, scouring the place looking for, you know, whatever I was looking for.
They certainly didn't have a booth as to whether they had anyone there walking around. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did meet Zach, who used to work over at DCBS.
Oh, Zach was there?
Yeah, Zach was there. That was fun.
Okay.
At one point, there was a whole bunch of people kind of over around the Tomorrow's booth and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So Chris was doing some introductions for me, which I greatly appreciate.
Right, right. Again. Yeah, you were over at that booth quite a bit on Sunday when I was bopping back and forth over there.
Quite a bit on Sunday, quite a bit on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was good to hang out and you know, just talk to different people, get to meet some people and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I got to meet your sister for the first time. That was interesting. She's a very nice person.
She is. She is great to go to conventions with and stuff. She handles a lot of the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
Does a surprising amount kind of quiet behind the scenes stuff that keeps the podcast going.
Right.
And she was the one that that really, you know, got us hooked up with the Erica and Linda and stuff that we've been hanging out with in San Diego for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's fun going to conventions in that kind of a mode or whatever. It was funny on, I guess it was Saturday. I look over, I'm at the booth, I look back, and there are these two bags, kind of like, you know, grocery bag, you know, reusable grocery bag type size things,
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
Filled with paperbacks.
Really?
Because apparently Erica, Linda, and my sister had been going to the book publishers.
Oh.
That were giving freebies away, and they were, some of them were signed, they were making sure, okay, everyone got the ones they wanted and whatnot. So I had to put, like, half a dozen or more paperback novels in my suitcase going home.
Cause, oh, God.
Yeah, my sister's worth doing that for. You know, she's good and stuff.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was. You know, to anybody out there that hasn't been, this is definitely a show to go to. And, you know, and the only thing I have to compare it to is Motor City Comic Con, which is... I would say probably the entire con is maybe, what am I thinking, about two-thirds of the size of that main floor there. Mm-hmm. C2E2. Although this year, from what I understand, I just got my information because I volunteer at that, so I get to go free because I work there for a few hours here and a few hours there. They are actually taking over the entire hall, which is probably going to make it about the size of that entire floor. Wow. Now, I don't know what it is that they've got there that justifies that. I mean, William Shatner is going to be there. I know last year it was an absolute nightmare when Stan Lee showed up, and traffic was backed up for hours. I was an hour and a half late just trying to get in there to do my shift. So, Stan Lee was there at C2E2. And mm-hmm. I don't know if he was there on Sunday, though, because I didn't see him anyway. I don't know if they had that kind of a problem there in Chicago, but it was an absolute nightmare in Detroit. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I have to compare it to. And it's a completely, I wouldn't say completely, but it is a different show than C2E2 is. So.
Well, it's funny because, again, most of my experience is San Diego, but I've done the Staple Convention here in town, which is an uber small press kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it is big for what it is, but tiny compared to like a C2E2 or something like that.
Right.
San Diego, back when it was small, I've been up to the Fan Expo in Dallas. That was about 10, almost 15 years ago now. Jeez. So I've been to some smaller ones. I went to one in, I forget if it was Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. That was just, you look around, you can see everything from where you're standing kind right. of a place.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be a lot of fun if there's a high ratio of stuff you're interested in to what's there or whatever.
Right.
But I really found C2E2 to be a really good size convention. There's tons to do. There's something for everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some time to go through it, to experience it all. It's certainly enough to fill a weekend. Yet if you've only got the day, you can do that.
Right. Right.
It's, again, comfortable size. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It was, the size of the aisles. I mean, I only have, Motor City to compare it to, but I mean, you go down Motor City's aisles and you are going sideways in order to get around people. And, but this place, I mean, there was enough room for, I mean, there was a couple of places that got a little bit more congested.
Yeah, there were one or two, but not
actually,
many.
Actually around in the publishers area seemed to be a little bit tight, like by, Tomorrow's and Dark Horse and some of the others in there. They seemed to be a little bit tight in there, but the rest of them, I mean, there was plenty of room to maneuver. And it just made it a lot more comfortable. You weren't bouncing off of people or trying to, get out of people's way or get people out of your way in order to get to where you wanted to go.
There's a real art to laying out an exhibit hall floor to where you've got that kind of elbow room and room in the aisles to walk around mm-hmm. without it seeming like everything is just oddly far apart.
Right. Right.
And they did a great job balancing that.
And everything seemed to be pretty well organized as far as that goes. I mean, there was a couple of spots where there was oddball things going on. But, you had your artist alley on one section. It seemed like all the retailers were basically in one grouping area, even though it kind of made like an L shape. But I mean, you knew that if you were in this area, this is where all the retailers mm-hmm. were. And then all the, action figure people seemed to be over in another area. It seemed to be well organized that way.
Well organized without seeming like ghettoized or whatever.
Right.
Because in San Diego, there's like one or two aisles. It's like, okay, this is where you find the weird Japanese toys.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, it's like, this is where you find all of the medieval, costuming type stuff. Another one where this is where you find all the games. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's like going down an aisle in a grocery store. You expect there to be a thing at the top saying, okay, look for A, B, or C, and that's it.
Right, right.
Whereas this had the certain groupings and stuff, but it was not to the point of stupidity, if you know what I mean.
Right.
If you wanted something, you didn't have to crisscross the floor to find every vendor, but, there was also some variety wherever you were standing. It's not like everything was just this one thing.
Right, right.
So I think it was well worth going to. I'm really glad I went. Definitely would like to go back again. Had fun hanging out with the people I stayed with and doing all that in the evenings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And hanging out with you and stuff on Sunday, Chris and stuff the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Would have liked to have seen Niesman and some of the other people. Hopefully get a chance in future years.
Right, right. And I know the 11 o'clock guys say they're planning on all being there next year. This is something I think I would like to make a, if not a regular thing, a semi-regular thing. If I don't go next year, maybe go to the following year, or go next year and not go the following year or whatever. I mean, I would like to make this a semi-regular thing, because there's going to San Diego, unfortunately, is kind of out of my realm, at least right now. It's very cost prohibitive for me. You have to try to find a place, to stay and, all the bad logistics there. And it's very expensive. And, basically I'd end up blowing my wad on, what I would normally want to buy stuff with just on, travel and, lodging and food.
The logistics of San Diego are getting increasingly complex every year.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes only a little bit, sometimes more so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, one of the other reasons I went to C2E2 is just kind of scoping out, is there another convention I'd rather go to?
Right.
Because I'm just one bad year at San Diego away from not going again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully that won't happen, because I love San Diego. I think it's a great show.
Right.
But it has outpaced my ability to enjoy it and survive it in some respects.
Right, right.
You know, I don't go to like the Doctor Who panel and stuff because it's a mob scene.
Right.
My sister went to the Defiance panel at C2E2 and loved it. Thought it was right. Great. Part of why she went, she didn't think she'd be able to get into the one in San Diego.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's I wouldn't say laid back, because there is just so much to take in. But, I mean, you can take it at your own pace.
It's a low-stress convention.
Right, and not feel like you have to do this and have to do that. And, but I would suggest to anybody that 2 days is probably the way to do it.
Yeah.
At least, spend the night.
Yeah, I think you should have done that. It would have increased the cost, but I think it would have been easier on you.
I think so, too. But, I just figured, what the heck, I'll try it. I'm not 20 anymore where I could do that on a regular basis. But I figured, got to be there, need to be there, wanted to meet you, wanted to mm-hmm. meet some other people, and just wanted to be part of the scene. So, that was the way to do it. And, like I said, I'm glad I took Monday off, because at least I got to kind of do nothing on Monday and kick back and relax. So, but
I'm just glad I was going with friends. I didn't have to worry about where is McCormick Place, what am I going to eat,
mm-hmm.
and all of those kinds of logistic stuff. For me, it was almost a show up, and just enjoy myself, which is just awesome.
Right, right. Exactly.
And because, I didn't have a press badge, I didn't feel obliged that I had to go run around and do this, that, and the other. I mean, I did the same stuff anyways. Talk mm-hmm. with the publishers, go to the panels, all that kind of stuff. We're doing the episode, whatever.
Right.
But it was certainly, there's an aspect of the atmosphere at C2E2 that is inherently lower stress than I think San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And, San Diego preview night, people are literally racing around to sign up for their sketches, to get their exclusives, to do this, and it's like, good Lord, it's a hobby, folks.
Right.
Relax.
Right.
And again, I felt the atmosphere at C2E2 really captured that a lot better and was just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. It was an eye-opener for me, because, like I said, it was a vastly different convention than, what I've been to before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it gave me kind of a halfway glimpse of what San Diego is like, but on a more relaxed notion of it, I guess.
Yeah, increase the size and really amp up the anxiety level for San Diego.
Right.
Because it's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is I don't feel a need to have to go to San Diego, where it seems like a lot of people feel the need to go. And, I had just as much fun, doing this. It was a great show. It mm-hmm. really was. Just for the Sunday that I was there, I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I think C2E2 is something that every fan, serious fan of comics and stuff, should definitely consider going to.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
San Diego, I think, is more for the hardcore kind of a fan, or the more pop culture celebrity-driven kind of a fan. And that's the friends I hang out with and my sister and stuff are more into the TV shows and that kind of a stuff.
Sure.
So that was also part of why it was a little bit more lower key and stuff at C2E2 than, say, a San Diego kind of a thing.
Right, right.
But definitely a lot of fun. Definitely want to go back. Definitely recommend it. It was a trip I'm glad I made. Again, got to see you face-to-face for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, the first time in ages. Just great fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I got to, you know, I'm going to see Chris at Motor City. We've already talked about that. My buddy Ted over at Super World, he's looking forward. We're going to go out and have a drink after the con one night. You know, I got to hook up with people and, again, got to see you and a few other people. And yeah, it was, you know, anybody out there listening, definitely go, you know, go at least once. You know, yeah. And check it out. Yeah, the more local you are, obviously, you know, the easier it is on you, or, you know, or spend the night, because that's just the way to do it.
Well, and again, it's as much going to the convention as hanging out with the people at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, you get to know some of the people, either other vendors, retailers, collectors, whatever, over the years, creators. You get to build up a network of people that are just fun to chat with.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly.
Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
I think that should about do it, yeah.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.